Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 27th day of December, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And let's take a look back at the holiday weekend where a lot more people are waking up to the fact that they've been lied to on lots more than just the COVID-1984 pandemic and the Zyklon B injection that's being touted as the fix for it. They're also getting lied to about everything from energy and electric cars to the truth about non-existent man-made global warming, aka climate change, that really is changing, but not for the reasons we've been told. And just as importantly, green energy isn't really green at all, nor is it going to be available when you need it most. Writes J.D. Hayes for Natural News, experts, and these are the real ones, I think, have been warning for months that there could be major issues delivering enough power to customers, especially along the eastern seaboard this winter, if unseasonably cold temperatures, which are increasingly, folks, becoming more the norm than the exception, hit. And these experts have now been vindicated. According to reports from Christmas Eve, the powerful winter storm that saw temperatures plunge to record lows throughout the middle of the country, reaching all the way down into Florida and threatening that state's orange crop, began battering the East Coast with snow and sub-zero temperatures by Saturday morning. As the storm worsened, a regional grid serving 65 million customers in 13 states, as well as the District of Criminal Swamp, declared an emergency after a million people lost power. The outage, as you've no doubt heard, also disrupted air travel, and highway accidents were spiking as well. A number of people, as it turned out, even died in their cars stuck along frozen roadways. The story quotes Zero Hedge, which notes that the PJM interconnection, a regional power grid stretching from Illinois to New Jersey, declared a stage 2 emergency late Friday and asked customers to conserve electricity. Those that had electric cars already knew they weren't going to be going anywhere, so don't bother to charge them. And the idea was to stave off the so-called stage 3 emergency, which, had it been declared, would result in rolling blackouts across all of those affected states and what was once called the nation's capital at a time when temperatures have plunged to dangerous lows. By Saturday morning, over 60% of the country, some 200 million Americans, were experiencing severe winter weather and were under various alerts, said Bloomberg. And thousands upon thousands of flights were either delayed or canceled. As bad as things have gotten in once-free America, however, they could be worse. Just look at what's happened to Germany as a result of the same kind of idiocy that's trying to destroy this country. Says Brian Young, writing for the Epoch Times, Germany has decided they'd better return to coal, as energy and the availability thereof seems to trump the climate goals, farcical as they may be. And yes, even as they officially continue to pursue those ridiculous goals, they now face their worst energy crisis in decade, and the Central European nation turns out to be consuming coal at the fastest pace in almost 6 years, as it becomes one of the few countries to increase imports of the actually reliable and available fuel in 2023. Once one of the oldest and cheapest sources of energy, as a matter of fact, coal was responsible, literally, for the Industrial Revolution, coal has now made a comeback after soaring energy costs worldwide, especially as a result of, you know, things like war and political correctness run amok, has introduced much of that area to what might be called a cold, hard reality. A number of coal plants in Europe have been temporarily reactivated this year because of gas shortages after being closed or mothballed due to the weather, the current energy crisis. Oh yeah, and let's not forget the war that resulted in the demolition of the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines. Oh, wait a minute. Was it the other way around? About 36.3% of all the electricity in the German power grid between July and September this year came from coal-fired plants, and that's up from 31.9% in the third quarter of 2021. And guess what, folks? That doesn't include the beginning of winter. I can't help but wonder if some are now happy about the fact that they didn't go completely green and destroy those plants that are now helping them avoid freezing to death. The IEA said that global coal consumption is at a record high of over 8 billion tons this year. And despite that, carbon emissions for November were at their, I hope you're sitting down, folks, lowest in 30 years, said the Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air. Bottom line, Europe's largest economy is trying to balance the idea of net zero emissions goal with the short-term priority of staying alive through the winter. Next, here's a story courtesy of the Burning Platform, increasingly one of your host's favorite sites. In return, it comes from the State of the Nation website and the Weather Warfare Watchers, and it begins, "Don't be deceived. In spite of what you might be hearing, thousands upon thousands of unavoidably homeless and inadequately housed elderly and infirm people, those that were trapped in vehicles, and of course the truly foolish, have already perished from the ravages of Winter Storm Elliott. And in spite of this reality, they say, the CIA's Mockingbird media has falsely reported that only 19 deaths, as if that was trivial, have been linked to this man-made weather cataclysm. in spite of the fact that nearly 250 million people have been affected as a result of a storm that extends more than 2,000 miles from Quebec to Texas to the East Coast. Here's where the story begins to open what they might call a door of doubt. Oh, really? They ask. A ginormous bomb cyclone triggered by a humongous polar vortex profoundly disrupts life for nearly a quarter of a billion people, and only 19 are dead. A once-in-a-generation deep freeze, as they call it, paralyzes life across vast swaths of North America, but millions of the most vulnerable are still, somehow, alive and kicking. Do you see how they do this during and after each and every major geoengineered weather disaster aimed at the USA? The only 19 deaths quoted will slowly inch upwards, says the author, over the coming days, regardless of the fact that the accurate mortality rate explodes by the hour. The government is well aware of the true statistics in this respect, but here's a shocker. They always try to mislead the general public. The county coroners across the USA see virtually every dead body directly caused by a devastating event, such as Winter Storm Elliott. Notice how they're not even giving these things names. And I can't help but think there's an interesting dichotomy at work, too, here, folks. A whole lot of people are already dead men walking, as you no doubt are aware, courtesy of the Zyklon B injections. How many of those with weakened immune systems or the inability to recover from the after effects of something this devastating will die over coming days? Now, the interesting dichotomy that I refer to is the fact that Big Brother's going to have a dilemma. Do they blame it on the Zyklon B injection? Well, of course not. Or do they blame it on Winter Storm Elliott? Or do they come up with some totally even more bogus explanation? I guess time will tell. Oh, yeah, and an update to the story says that by Tuesday morning, now they're saying at least 37 dead nationwide, and the figure continues to rise. But there are several key points here that the state of the nation says the uninitiated are certainly unaware of. Like, every single major geoengineered weather attack produces thousands of unreported fatalities and injuries. There are several reasons for this predictable but stark reality. Perhaps the most important, the higher the number of actual deaths, the more it's viewed as a massive failure of government at all levels, and especially the criminally negligent Big Brother federal government. Secondly, the less serious the weather event, the less obligated Big Brother is to formally declare an official federal emergency that would automatically qualify states, counties, cities, and municipalities for lots of emergency funding. And thirdly, the greater the mass death and injury caused by, as well as the sheer magnitude and size of the weather catastrophe, the more reprehensible it is, in the eyes of the U.S. taxpayer, to repeatedly send tens or hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine's War Crime Committee Nazi regime, while Americans freeze to death with no heat, water, electricity, or ultimately now, food. Finally, there's the malicious intent on the part of the New World Order geoterrorists, whose explicit and absolutely admitted goal is to mass murder as many of what they call useless eaters as possible, in which case they don't want anyone to know just how extremely dangerous the ongoing superstorm that they've geoengineered really is. Says the piece, as long as many folks remain willfully ignorant of the weather wars of geoterrorism taking place all around them and across the country, and in spite of the skies above them showing the truth, a score of crisscrossing chemtrails on any given day when it's forecasted to be clear and sunny all day long, they're still refusing to face the raw truth about the extremely perilous ongoing weather modification and climate engineering occurring nationwide 24/7. But as to why the U.S. citizenry was targeted by Elliott during this particular holiday season, well, they list a number of various hidden deep state agendas, New World Order objectives, globalist goals, and WEF ambitions, like, most obviously, to greatly weaken and or collapse state, regional, and national energy grids from the northern Midwest to the deep south and from the east coast to the west coast. Number two, to further sabotage and or collapse the food supply, that's a continuing effort, by wiping out vast swaths of agricultural acreage, especially where winter crops are vulnerable. And by the way, incredible record lows across much of the country will in fact do exactly that, especially when it comes to perennial crops that aren't used to way below average temperatures. Number three, how about mass murdering some of the tens of millions of homeless and inadequately housed individuals across those regions of the country that are undergoing an unparalleled deep freeze? And let's not forget, there's a great idea here, distract the American people from the ongoing grand theft from the U.S. Treasury being conducted by the 117th so-called Congress of these once-free United States, before the next one comes in and has any chance of straightening things out. A related item on the list, to divert the attention of the already dumbed down U.S. citizenry from the countless war crimes and crimes against humanity continually committed by the Biden regime, particularly those perpetrated in Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, Somalia, and pretty soon, you name it. And certainly last but not least, to end the year with yet another smashing advertisement for the globalist fabricated climate change scam, which is why it's friggin' freezing coast to coast right now, despite the constant drumbeat, even though it's been discredited for years, of global warming, global warming, global warming. No, really, folks, it's global cooling that is a far bigger problem. Finally, there's this issue about manufacturing a sufficient level of chaos, confusion, and conflict nationwide so that the Rhino Democrat Uniparty, both wings of that same evil bird of prey, can carry out their traitorous plan to conspicuously overthrow what's left of the U.S. federal government via the planned and already well underway Bolshevik Revolution. And in the process, cancel completely and forever the American Republic, bankrupt the U.S. corporation, before completing the installation of a totalitarian government in Washington, which will employ the very worst aspects of both fascism and communism. Oh yeah, and let's not forget, during the holiday season, it would be great if they could get all the Christmas and New Year's Eve celebrants and merrymakers talking about inclement weather instead of the naked treason and treachery that the POTUS imposter Joe Biden and his criminal cabal, as well as his scandalous son, are notorious for. And have we forgotten the continuing effort to promote the next pandemic? Oh, yeah. Wouldn't a cold snap be a great way to help bring that on? We'll follow that up with a bit of disgusting, albeit not in the least surprising, news. Once one of the nation's premier military academies, West Point, and its superintendent, sick, Lieutenant General Steve Gilland, broke the news that, oh yeah, yet another bit of history is being flushed down the toilet. Quote, during the holiday break, this scumbag said, we'll begin a multi-phase process in accordance with Department of Defense directives, and you know that means it's treasonous, to remove, rename, or modify assets and real property at the United States Military Academy and West Point installation that commemorate or memorialize or even admit that this ever happened. We're changing history, don't you know? The Confederacy, or those who voluntarily served with the Confederacy, and among those whose images, likeness, and memory is being purged, true communist style, is General Robert E. Lee, one of the finest men to ever serve in the U.S. military, or in any other for that matter, and without question, one of the most brilliant military generals of all time. And one whose, let me be honest here, whose boots this so-called lieutenant general isn't fit to put a shine on. Item, is this good news or only slightly better in comparison? The Free Beacon has reported, courtesy of also the Gateway Pundit, that was quick, just 48 hours after they and the Wall Street Journal shed light on so-called Stanford University's list of offensive words and phrases like American and blind study, they've decided they want to make a few clarifications. Now, no, folks, this is being overreported. They're not really backing down. They're just hiding what they're trying to get away with. Quote, the university hid its elimination of harmful language initiative behind a login page Monday morning following widespread public criticism of their over-the-top wokeness and effort to purge what they called potentially harmful language like survivor, victim, black box, and white paper from university websites. Are they backing down? No, they're just trying to get you to forget about it for now. Here's a kind of related story, a charity that's not, also courtesy of TGP. It's about Amazon Smile, which sounds like such a cheerful program. Customers can sign up to the program and have 0.5% of their total purchase donated to what is laughably called a charity. But charities must go through a politically correct approval process to be accepted. Many Christian charities, it notes, have nothing to smile about after learning they need not apply. But Amazon Hate Group, an official partner, the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the most evil entities in your host's opinion, in the nation, and one of the most truly racist and anti-constitutional, the SPLC is being used to vet whether an organization is allowed to participate, are they sufficiently woke or not, in the so-called charity program. And they must be a registered 501c3 with Big Brother's IRS, too, which means they're double politically correct. As Senator Tom Cotton put it back in 2019, calling for that same IRS, this is kind of laughable if you think about it, to investigate the tax-exempt status of the SPLC. Well, he put it correctly then. They are a political hate group. Oh yeah, and as the TGP article notes, they may be targeting Christian groups, but Amazon Smile doesn't have a problem, including foundations with wonderful backgrounds like the Black Lives Matter Global Foundation, which is a lot bigger on supporting riots than the most so-called Christian organizations ever dreamed of being. From there, let's peruse at least a few stories today that seem like a bit of good news, even if it's just a reaction to so much of the bad news. Here's one from Jack Phillips via the Epoch Times. A majority of Americans, the recent poll said 63%, now want Congress to investigate, as if that would really do any good, whether or not the FBI was involved in censoring posts on Twitter, gee, do you think, and other socialist media sites following new revelations from billionaire CEO Elon Musk's release of the multiple installments of the Twitter files. This, a December 26 poll from Rasmussen reports. Only 22% opposed such an investigation, and another 15% said they were undecided. Maybe they're like your host, they don't think it'll do any good, because we already know the answer they're going to come up with. Anyway, Rasmussen found that 63% of Americans believe, quote, it's likely that the FBI encouraged social media sites like Facebook and Twitter to, quote, suppress, silence, or reduce the speech and reach of certain political speech and speakers. Said Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio to Just the News late last week, we've been looking at a church-style committee to look into this. I think Victor Davis Hanson of AmericanGreatness.com comes closer to the truth when he asked, what will the FBI not do? And of course, who watches the watchers? Pointing out the level of perfidy that they've been caught in time after time after time from all the lies of James Comey and his denials of remembering all of the perfidy that they were up to on and on and on. The next 2 years are dangerous times, suggests the author, for the FBI and the country. Yeah, the House might soon begin investigations of the obviously improper behavior, but you know darn well the Biden not Justice Department will escalate the use of the Bureau as a partisan investigative service and probably hound those who are trying to get to the bottom of the truth anyway. The FBI's former embattled high-ranking administrators who've been fired or forced to leave the agency, Andy McCabe, James Comey, Peter Strzok, Jim Baker, Lisa Page, and a whole host of others, they're just the tip of the iceberg, will continue to use socialist media and their captive cable and other so-called news stations to inveigh against critics of the FBI, since they're all deeply involved in the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax and have a whole lot to hide. Meanwhile, Merrick Garland will continue to order the FBI to hound its perceived enemies through surveillance and performance art arrests. And as the people grow only more convinced that the Bureau has become Stasi-like or worse and cannot be reformed but must be broken up, even as an extremist, a defiant and unapologetic FBI will, as its latest communique, the one where they denied any wrongdoing, shows, they'll attack their critics. So we're left with the inevitable dilemma. Just who is it that watches the watchers? Next today, I want to spend a couple minutes on a story that I actually saw over the weekend. It came from the Daily Mail out of the UK. It's unabashed propaganda, but it really does point in a direction that I think we need to be aware of, paying attention to, and, yeah, ready for. It says this in the headline, China's COVID chaos could trigger the doomsday variant. Booga, 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 say, oh, you know it, don't you? The experts. Why are they experts? Well, because we say so, and they know better than to try to fight the narrative. And yes, it begins, the COVID chaos coming out of China could send the rest of the world right back to where Big Brother and all of those who are pushing for the deep state, the World Economic Forum, and the New World Order Global Reset really want it to. Square one in the fight against the plandemic, say the so-called experts. Hospitals have been overwhelmed, morgues have been filled up since Beijing U-turned on its so-called controversial zero-COVID policy last month. And now that they've backed down from the totalitarianism that we've come to love and expect, up to 1 million people could die from the virus. No, folks, it won't be the virus that kills them. It's the poison poke, don't you know? And all of the things that are being done in the name of the virus. But anyway, as they put it, they could die from the virus in coming months, according to startling projections. Now, listen to this and see if you can't spot the whoppers. Low immunity, they say, is thought to be driving the wave. Oh, you know what causes that? No, it's not the Zyklon B injections that are destroying people's immune systems. It's poor vaccination rates and a lack of previous infections. What a crock. And the head of the World Health Organization has claimed that China's dire situation shows, booga, 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 the pandemic is not over. And they have lots of pictures to try to scare you if the BS that they're peddling in the text doesn't. But lest you miss the point here, why, they ask, is China being battered so badly by COVID? China's currently in the midst of a COVID pandemic tsunami, according to doctors working in the country. And while official cases may have dropped since the end of mass testing, and the reason for that is obvious, the government's U-turn on its zero COVID approach has now seen the virus run rampant. Ooh, said one of the Kool-Aid drinking sycophants to the Mail Online. This is Professor David Livermore, microbiologist at the University of East Anglia. of man-made global warming hockey stick fame, you may recall. China is in for a few grim weeks as zero COVID is unraveled. But here's the real point, folks. What you're supposed to be afraid, be very afraid of, is what they obviously know is coming, or at least somebody is planning for, and that is global chaos when the new doomsday variant is unleashed. Thank you, Tony Fauci. Which brings me now to one more bit of good news for today, and it certainly helps to outline the parameters of the coming battle, folks. But I do think we need to introduce it with a counterpoint and a bit of arguably bad news so that the contrast is more clear. This comes from Ethan Huff in Natural News about washed-up Hollywood nobody, Sean Penn, one of the most disreputable among a disreputable crowd, who we're used to hearing all kinds of stupid things from. But in an interview with Extra of late, he warned about the growing prevalence of anti-vax rhetoric, saying that he believes any of those who oppose getting poisoned with the Zyklon B by Big Pharma are suffering, quote, from a cowardice of conviction. They're not as convicted to idiocy, I guess, as he is. Quote, I think it's an unwillingness to engage in a culture of common sense, said the infamous nutcase. Obviously, folks, being a guinea pig and injecting yourself with immune-destroying drugs is common sense. Quote, at this point, he said, it seems criminal to me, actually. But he wasn't done. In order to make sure that the vaccinated feel safe, he said, quote, I really feel that if someone chooses not to be vaccinated, they should choose to stay home, not go to work, not have a job. As long as we're paying for all these streets, we've got to ride safely on them. And so I'm just hopeful the mindset will change. I gotta be honest, folks, I wonder if Sean Penn's mindset will change before he finally succumbs to his terminal stupidity. But somehow, I doubt even then that he'd admit it. Which brings me to the final story today. This comes from Lance D. Johnson via Natural News about Hollywood actor Tim Robbins, famous far leftist who does seem to actually have not only a conscience, but a brain. And in the headline of the piece here, he says he regrets complying with lockdowns, forced masking, vaccine mandates, and, of course, segregation. Recently, says the piece, Academy Award-winning actor Tim Robbins joined Russell Brand's podcast to explain his personal transformation over the course of the Wuhan COVID-1984 plandemic. In the beginning of the mass hysteria, Robbins bought into every single COVID-19 narrative that was offered by the corporate media and the government of California and, of course, his leftist buddies in Hollywood. Living in L.A. at the time, Robbins complied, it says, with the strict government edicts, home arrests, isolation orders, contact tracing, and dehumanization, and literally mental illness that came along with socialist distancing and gathering restrictions. When the government discriminated against people of faith and shut down churches and small businesses, he complied. When Big Brother wanted to mock family sovereignty with the insidious and health-compromising mask mandates, he complied there, too. Quote, I bought into it. I was masking everywhere. I was keeping my social distance. I was adhering to the request made of me, and I felt angry at people, he told Brandt, who didn't do that. Robbins believed that locking the population down for the so-called vaccines was virtuous, and he expressed his hatred toward anyone who didn't submit to the jabs and all the mandates. When a so-called vaccine was unleashed, he got on board with the mandates, vaccine passports, and all the segregation of those who didn't consent. But he's now publicly apologizing for his actions. And that, folks, really is good news, and certainly something you don't see, especially from the left, very often. So that, too, is encouraging. Today, he says, he regrets complying with the lockdowns, forced masks, vaccine mandates, segregation, and all the other dehumanizing acts that were carried out in the name of public health and safety. Robin said that his personal experience was at odds with what he was being told by the media and the government. His eyes were finally opened when he traveled to Britain, where he noticed, quote, a lot of people were not adhering again to those requests made by their government. I thought, well, they're going to have a hard day coming up. There'll be some serious death here, he said. When I saw that there wasn't a huge death rate in Britain, after I witnessed personally what was happening, I started to wonder more and more about what we were being told and whether it was true or not. And ultimately, he says, those who fought for freedom changed his mind. So keep on fighting, folks, because you just never know. Even sometimes people you wouldn't expect it might actually be paying attention and just might be able to have a change of heart. which really is at least part of the good news. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.